Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Jay here, straight for Paddock. That's Joe Smith. Manchester City 3, Manchester United 1. United losing at the Etihad again. First half, great. Second half, awful. Get involved in the chat and the comments. That's Mr. Joe Smith. Joe?
Yeah.
I mean, we said before the game, we were chatting, and if we were being brutally honest, put the bravado and the humour aside, the sort of, the consensus amongst United fans was, we were going to struggle.
Yeah.
We were going to struggle today. It could be a horrible day. It could be a cricket score. It could be, like, you know, all those other things. Now, it wasn't that. In the first half, we took the lead and we had the lead for 57 or up to the 57 minute. In the second half, obviously, we were leading. But once City got going, we really didn't have an answer for it, did we? Yeah. And part of the sort of disappointing thing is we were kind of the architects of our own downfall with some of our defending, some of our decision making, and just some of our general play in that second half.
Yeah, I don't want it to be a thing where I sort of go back and criticise what at the time felt like good stuff, because I don't like it when people, pundits do it all the time, where whatever the result is, then everything has to be funnelled into this lens. So City have won, which means everything United did was shit and everything City did was great, which I don't buy into at all. But what I will say is, I don't actually think City were that much better in the second half than they were in the first half. I just think United seemed to get a bit tired. The gaps got bigger, certainly. You know, their second goal in particular, you saw a gap that hadn't been exposed all game, that running behind, and United had just pushed out a little bit to try and get back into the game, and it caught us out. But I do think that United, I don't want to say did all they could, because there were mistakes, and it's a little bit of a, you know, we're just a shit small club trying our best. But I don't know what else United had. That's the thing that pisses me off. That's the thing that upsets me, and I think we have to change, and that Ineos and whoever it is need to move towards is closing the gap between us and City. Because for the whole game, I know some of it is impacted by the fact that we scored first, so then you're more likely to sit back, but the whole game was us defending and them attacking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All of it was that, except a 2 minute, 5 minute, maybe 5 minute spell in the first half where we got a goal, and maybe a 5 minute spell in the second half where we looked a little bit dangerous just before their goal. But other than that, it was 75% possession. What was it? 74% possession to them, 27 shots to our three. You know, these aren't stats where you come out winning. And the other again, I've been critical of Ten Hag's tactics and the lack of shape that we've seen so far this season. I don't even think there was a lack of tactics. I thought that was all we could do. But that's what makes me so sad, is that's all we've got against a team like Man City at the minute. We don't have a head-to-head, you go, we go, you go. Even like, you know, again, I fucking hate that we're using this as the example, but you look at how Liverpool play against him, and they'll, you know, City will still have more possession. But every time they get the ball, they look dangerous, and they've got players that the work rate, the options off the bench, the patterns of play that they've been sort of working on for nearly a decade now under Klopp, they've got that sort of muscle memory to try and find a way against Man City. United don't really have any of that. and we've got big injuries to big players. The bench, you know, you look at the players who came on, and I'm not even going to go from a quality perspective, but, you know, Anthony, Kambwala, Forson, and Amrabat, I think, were the subs. You know, none of those are starters. None of those are players that play regularly, really, for Manchester United at this point. And that's what we've got to bring on to try to win a game against, you know, Man City at home, or Man City away for us. It's not really enough, and United just don't have enough.
We don't.
It's sad.
We don't, and it is sad, and you're right. But the annoying thing for me is, as well, I just feel like some of your bigger players need to be better at key moments. I think there's moments in that game where we just see little lapses of concentration or bad decision making that cost us from players that are capable of so much more. Like Rashford, brilliant to see him get that goal, a fantastic goal. But then he faded massively in the second half. And then even like, I think it was led up to the equaliser, he's going toe-to-toe with Kyle Walker. Maybe you say, okay, you know, he got muscle off. But I know Marcus Rashford can do better than that. He can. I'm not blaming him completely for this performance because he got the goal. But he can be better there.
Yeah.
Casemiro can be better when he's letting Foden go. And when he makes that little flick up to Amrabat for the pass. I know Amrabat made a dog's dinner of it, but it doesn't help him, no. Putting him under unnecessary pressure. Victor Lindelof, I know he's not a left-back. And I was saying before the game, me and you did the preview, I don't want to see him at left-back. But he's been at United for a long time now. He's a seasoned defender. There's no real excuse that you're out. I'm not a left back, when you're not getting close enough to Phil Foden, to the point where he's just basically got a free shot on it. He can set himself and he can just take. You can do the shot he wants. There's no pressure on him. There's not, you know. And I think Ryan Opper's pointing out, I think he sticks out his left leg rather than his right, which is just weird. So players that have, you know, got a lot of experience and can do better at key moments.
Yeah.
Let us down there. And then you look at the points you make, which are just as valid. They go on their bench sitting and they go, right, we'll take off Doku and we'll bring on, was it Julian Alvarez for the sub, you know, a World Cup winning striker whose ratio for City is basically 1-2. You look as well, they've got, I think Gvardiol didn't even get off the bench.
Was he 80 million quid?
80 million. Who's the other kid they spent? Is it Nunes?
Nunes, another 50, 60.
He's on it. Kovacic, who's a very good player, good at Chelsea, Premier League experience, has done really well at City. He don't get off the bench. You look at us and it's either kids or players who we know aren't good enough. Yeah. I know, right? And I know you've defended him like you do with every United player and respect that. But I know Anthony ain't good enough. I know he's not.
Yeah,
I know Sofyan Amrabat isn't the player we hoped he would be. He just isn't. And, you know, I'm not blaming them. It's like there's a ceiling there perhaps for him that's just not the levels you want. But these are the options you've got. Omari Forson, I hope I'm wrong. He might be, you know, one of the best players you've ever seen moving forward. You know, he might have a glittering career in the next 15 years. But the jury's out. He might not even be a Premier League player. We don't know. And yet he's been thrown into this sort of mix now where he's been brought on at the Etihad to help us win a game against the treble winners, albeit with 115 charges over him. And you look at the quality there, you just think it's either kids, even Willy Kambwala, again, another good young player. I'm not having a dig at the youngsters. My point is we're bringing on untried, untested youngsters or players who we know deep down aren't good enough. They're bringing on World Cup winning stars, or not even bringing off the bench players they've spent 70, 80 million quid on who are mint. That's the gulf you've got between us and City in a minute. And it's such a massive gulf that Erik ten Hag has got to fix, or if it's not going to be him next season, Ineos and whoever the manager they bring in is have got to deal with it. Because I'm not saying ten Hag or anything like that. I'm saying Ineos might look at it and go, he's not our guy. But whoever comes in has got a huge task on the hand, because it isn't going to be three or four signings and United are winning the Premier League. It's going to be quite a few, because you look at the squad, not just the 11, the squad. Because don't forget, we're missing key players in the 11. So, you know, I'm not forgetting that point. But you look at the squad, I think the big problem you've got is you've got to bring in a lot of quality that you haven't got. And I think some of the players that you look at and you go, well, he's not a problem, he's a good player. Well, actually, you might have to replace him. I don't know if Casemiro's going to get any better. And I think this season, he's been very up and down. Can you rely on him? Is he a player you go, next season, yeah, he'll be your guy? I'm not so sure. Marcus Rashford, he gave that interview Players Tribune, scored a great goal. But there's still, like, seems to be this debate going on about Marcus, what we're going to do, is he happy, all this sort of stuff. There's so many different players, even the ones that you think are established and you don't have to worry about, where you go, actually, Varane's another one. A great, you know, I don't think he was particularly bad today. Great player, won the lot, but he's, what is he, 31? Mm-hmm. And you might have to replace him. So I just feel there's so much to fix at United. It's almost depressing. In fact, it is depressing. What's the comment saying, brother?
Yeah, Nick Collins says, bringing on Fawcett, who isn't ready, in my opinion, against City of all teams, along with Anthony, who's going to do nothing, is mental. If I'm Ahmad, I'm seriously considering if I should leave or not. I mean, no offence to Ahmad, but maybe he is considering whether he wants to leave or not. But I can't stop repeating. If Ten Hag thought Ahmad would win us the game and over Fawcett, he would bring him on. We're so thin on options. It's not like he goes, Ahmad's amazing, but you know, I just want to wind everyone up on social media, so I'm not going to bring him on. I'm not saying that managers always get every decision right, and he may be blindly picking Fawcett over Ahmad, you know, for bad reasons or for mistaken reasons. But I do think that no one sees more of Ahmad playing than Ten Hag. No one on earth sees him play more football than Ten Hag, let alone us. I don't understand why we don't see more of Ahmad, but I also haven't seen enough from Ahmad where I go, he has to play all the time. And I don't know if Ahmad is going to win you that game. I just don't think he is. Brian Kevill says, if you think we were going to win, you're crazy. Light years behind, we were destroyed. Mind number rubbish. We could have won. It wasn't impossible. But this is the thing. You play out these scenarios 10 times, 6 times it looks like that, 3 times they absolutely batter us, and 1 time United get a win.
Do you know
that's
what?
It. That's,
yeah.
That's it.
It is shit. Little things as well that don't help. I mean, obviously the injuries we've got to key players like Højlund and Martinez and Shaw are so essential to us. Also, when Onana got that injury, he couldn't go long anymore.
Yeah.
And that fucked us, that really did. I'm not saying if that doesn't happen, we win the game, but it contributes to for the loss, because he stops playing it long and starts playing it short. And then especially for that third goal, we get ourselves in a pickle.
Yeah.
And they score a goal that ends the game, basically wins them the game outright. Like, there's no sort of debate left in that, you know, maybe we can get an equaliser or whatever. So that doesn't help. But, you know, you're just looking at a squad that's just far stronger than the one we've got. And I think that whilst this season, Erik ten Hag, there's been a lot of games where I think he should do better. Fulham should have done better. Bournemouth should have done better. Brighton, Crystal Palace, you know the games. I don't need to go on about it. But I do feel almost today, like, with the options he had available to him, there wasn't a whole lot else he could have done.
Yeah.
Like, someone's mentioning that he could have brought Ahmad on. Yeah, okay, I get that argument, and I personally probably would have done, but I don't think that's the game changer. And I think when you look at that team, it wasn't that dissimilar to a team I'd expected him to pick.
Yeah.
I thought he might do that. I thought he might stick with an extra man in midfield, even though he says it wasn't, basically having Bruno there as a right winger who wasn't a right winger. Then you've got Marcus down the middle. I thought that made more sense than playing Scott McTominay as a striker. Johnny Evans and Raphael Varane, well, you've got no Maguire and you've got no Lisandro Martinez. What else are you doing? Are you starting Kambwala?
Yeah.
Are you putting Lindelof at centre-back and not having a left-back?
I don't know.
So,
we've got no left-backs fit. We've got no strikers fit. Like, that's not... We've got a fucking 35-year-old loanee who 10 years ago was deemed not good enough for Manchester United, coming back in and starting for us and playing well as well in Johnny Evans. But, like, we let him go because he wasn't at the standard ready for United. Now he's 35, all of a sudden he's good enough to push us to Man City levels. It's not. He's not. And that's no diss to him because he played well. But we have to look at the realities of the squad. Look at we've got the game on in the background, the punditry. We can't hear it. Just look at the body language of Roy Keane and Micah Richards. They expected this. There's no energy to him. There's no excitement. Micah Richards should be giddy and happy. I don't know what he's saying, but he's not. You know, this isn't a smiley, happy, we can't believe it. This is what everyone thought would happen. Roy Keane sat there looking flat. We knew this would happen. And that doesn't mean it's acceptable, or that we go, oh, great, Ten Hag's brilliant, you know, Man United are brilliant because we lose to City and we knew that would happen. It's shit and it needs fixing. But you can't... They've got a full strength side there. Have they got anyone missing? I can't think of anyone.
I think Grealish wasn't available.
But fuck that, he's not turned up since the trophy parade about 6 months ago, so he don't count. Like, they've got a full strength side at Man City, at home, pushing for a title, the sixth title in 8 years or whatever it would be. United have got no strikers at all. Zero. No left backs. Zero. Fucking, we've got a 35-year-old lonely playing centre-back. Our best midfielder this season is an 18-year-old who's playing his 17th or 18th game for Man United. There's no comparison. And the reason there's no comparison is because we've been fucking mismanaged on and off the field for nearly 20 years. Or not, we weren't mismanaged by Sir Alex, but we mismanaged off the field for that time. Like, these are the gaps that open up over time. These gaps get wider and wider and wider. It's unbelievable where we are. And like I said, no one is surprised by this. No one didn't see this coming. Someone in the comments, I think Ridwan, says, even Bournemouth managed double-digit shots against City. We only had 8 touches in the opposition half. Whilst you're right, that was at Bournemouth, first of all. And City beat Bournemouth 6-1 at this ground, with Bournemouth having one shot on target 2 months ago. So I don't think that's quite a fair comparison. What I will say is, I would still have liked United to have done a little bit more. I think that the fact that we didn't have a shot in the second half, regardless of who we're playing against, isn't good enough. But people are out on their feet. Bruno Fernandes has been, I thought, was brilliant in the first half, didn't do anything in the second half. But he got injured against Fulham. He played 90 minutes or most of the game, I can't remember, in midweek. Starts again today and plays. We're just threadbare. And the squad that isn't, you know, even if everyone's fit, the squad's still not that good.
I'd give Bruno a pass today.
I thought he was good.
I thought he did well today, Bruno. I know it wasn't an amazing performance, but I thought it was decent enough, especially when you compare it to some of his teammates. I thought he did well. I thought Johnny Evans did well. I thought Varane was okay as well. I thought, you know, Varane did well. I'm probably being a bit harsh there, just saying okay. I thought Casemiro fell off a cliff. Silly mistakes, and not tracking Foden was just inexcusable. Delo, I thought, did well. Lindelof, he's not a left back, but even so, he should have done better with that Foden equaliser. I think it was the equaliser, wasn't it? Rashford got his goal, but other than that, especially in the second half, offered very little. Garnacho, full of energy as he always is, but it looked like he looked leggy. He looked like someone who'd run out of ideas and looked a bit tired.
And he plays every week.
He plays every week, and he's 19.
Yeah, I know.
He should be getting managed. You look at Phil Foden today, right? Phil Foden smashed it. Phil Foden, right? And obviously, pays to say, he's got worldly talent, right? There's no denying it. I don't think I can remember in my lifetime, and being genuine, and I'm even go back to Class of 92, a team that focused on one player through the academy and give him the best sort of way into that first team. They've handled him so well in terms of getting him into the first team. You have a few games in this season, you have a few minutes. Next season, you have a few more. Mm. The following season, you start starting a few games in the cups and what have you. Then the fourth, you know what I mean? They've proper brought him in gradually. He hasn't been thrown in like we have done for youngsters for the last 10 years, where you go, right, you're playing every week until you're knackered and then you stop playing and we'll drop you for 6 months.
Yeah.
He hasn't had that. Or he hasn't been where, right, you're playing at, you know, right back this week, striker next week, it's centre mid next week. He's been brought in over time in a team that is successful, in a team that is winning, in a team that has so much possession. And it's very rare you get a player in this day and age at a top club that is brought in such a way. And he's benefited from that, but also the fact that he's got that talent. And you look at that compared to someone like Garnacho, who goes from being a substitute to starting every single week. Every single week. And he goes from playing on the right to playing on the left to back again. I mean, I love Alejandro Garnacho. I think he's a great guy, a great player, sorry. But you look at how we sort of handle these youngsters. It ain't great. No. It isn't. And like even Kobbie Mainoo, you've got to manage his minutes. You have. Yeah. I know he got his 18, he can play every week. But you need to make sure he can. You need to keep your eye on that, because he might need times when he needs a bit of a breather. Because he's gone from never playing Premier League football to playing it every week.
Starting every
and he's
game.
18, he's still growing. So you've just got to be mindful how you develop some of these players, because whilst it's easy to be sort of gloomy, and we have been, because we're miles behind City, it doesn't look like we're going to get top five anymore, especially after Spurs and Villa both winning, and the way they won this weekend is really frustrating.
Both of them.
I know.
We've got loads of Super Chats.
Sorry, I'll just end on this and then let you get into the Super Chats. No, you're right. I just feel that one sort of plus that we have this season, you look at Højlund, you look at Mainoo, you look at Garnacho, we've got three young players who potentially could be world class. I believe that. I'm not saying they're there, but you can see the talent is there on that trajectory. Think if they carry on, you could have three world class players you could build your team around, but you have to handle them the right way. We saw it with Højlund when he came in, he wasn't fit, and there was like question marks, but we kind of played him a bit anyway. We've got to stop all that and make sure we're looking after these youngsters, because that's the only way we're going to sort of move forward fully because we can't just keep relying on our transfers. Sorry, bro.
Burnside is back. Says, Joe, we can't win every week. You can't lose 11 games and have a minus two goal difference when you're the manager of Man United. 27 shots to two. Disservice to Solskjaer to draw a comparison. I miss him. I don't know if I even said you can't win every week. I don't know when I said that. But I don't think that, you know, I loved United under Solskjaer, but we didn't win a trophy, did we? We didn't push to that next level. I don't think that that's, you know, the end goal here isn't what we were under Solskjaer. That would be a nice step along the way, but, you know, I agree with you. You can't be losing 11 games. You can't be conceding 27 shots to two. I know City are good, but still, you know, it's not good enough. Red Army says, that's it for Ten Hag now. Time to go. No style of play. Awful football for two seasons and playing like a relegation side scared of the football. Abdullah Ibrahim says, we slowed down too much in the second half. When we did eventually get on the ball, we lacked the courage to do what was needed. Bigger balls needed. I do think we slowed down. I think some of that's tiredness and fatigue, like general tiredness, but also in the game. And also, like we said before, people like Kobbie Mainoo, Dalot, Garnacho, you know, all playing really their first big minutes for Man United. I know Dalot's been here a long time, but he's been first choice this season and played almost every game. Despite never really being first choice before. PJ says, I don't think this is the players not playing. Ten Hag is the worst manager we've had post Fergie. Even Rangnick was better.
Well, he wasn't, was he?
No.
No, let's just, like genuinely, yeah. You might not like Ten Hag, right? And you might question. I'll be honest with you, I don't blame anyone that does. I don't blame anyone that says a manager who's lost 11 league games by beginning of March isn't good enough for Manchester United. I understand that. I personally would stick with Ten Hag, but I understand the argument that you wouldn't, because it is difficult watching this most weeks. It's not every week, because we've had a good run in February until the Fulham game, but watching a lot of this football, seeing these results, the fact that we've got a goal difference of minus two isn't good enough, and I'm not going to pretend it is. But he won a trophy, he finished in the top three. Ralph Rangnick was fucking terrible as United manager. It was a disaster from start to finish. The football was trash. The decisions didn't make any sense whatsoever. And we were out of the cup competitions to Middlesbrough and the Atletico as well. And he was handed a team that had just got into the top four, I think, after beating Arsenal under Michael Carrick, and had just got out of groups in the Champions League after, the draw at Atlanta or whatever it was. So he wasn't given a team that was massively in decline. He was given a team that, okay, was struggling, but there was enough tools there to kick on and maybe see out the season and do well. He still had a big chunk of the season left as well. And other than his press conferences, which were box office, he didn't get anything right.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. You might be being a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I don't think Erik ten Hag is the worst manager I've had post-Fergie.
Of course he's not.
I'd probably say, you know, I'd say Moyes and Rangnick was definitely worse, if not, you know, there's one or two others as well.
Discombobulate with a good point here, actually. And I think he says, the most lackluster derby I've seen, one yellow card. I do think there is something to the fact that United's players seemed to expect that. And it wasn't a game where it got a bit heated, it got a bit tense when City scored some late tackles. It's sort of like the players went, oh my God, we're in the lead, right, keep doing what we're doing, okay, we're doing quite well, this is going well, oh shit, they've scored, oh shit, they've scored again, we've lost. And there wasn't that, like, come on, let's fuck at least go into them if we're going to lose. At least show them that, you know, we're here to fight, we want to win. It was, well, they're probably just going to pass the ball around now and we won't be able to get it off them and we'll lose. Oh, look, that's what's happened. I don't think yellow cards is necessarily like you want your team to be fighting or, you know, scrapping. But there was a lack of, if this isn't working this way, let's try doing it this way. It was, that's not worked that. Oh, well, we've lost now. Do you know what I mean? I did think it did lack a little bit of fight and fire that you would maybe expect to see in a typical derby. But it's like these players have been ground down by this Man City team so much in recent years where they just sort of went, yeah, this is probably about right. We're probably just going to lose now.
Yeah.
Josh W says, I think we played well for 60 minutes. Once again, changes came in, it fell apart. Injuries did hamper us, but on to the next. Brian Kevill says, didn't Liverpool beat Chelsea with kids and a bare-bones squad last week? Well, they had a...
Right, hang on a minute.
Yeah, come on.
Let's be realistic here, right? Liverpool beat the shittest Chelsea team in 30 years. Statistically, Chelsea are trash, yeah? There's a good chance the manager gets sacked within the next month or so. The woeful, like, they genuinely are. And yeah, Liverpool beat him, but Liverpool also had the likes of Virgil van Dijk playing for him. It wasn't like it was a complete set of kids. The average age of the Chelsea team was younger than the Liverpool team. And also, that has got fuck all to do with going to the Etihad and playing the current Premier League champions.
It's so ridiculous, because also...
Like, that's got nothing to do with today's game whatsoever.
Yeah, Chelsea had loads of chances to win that game, so it wasn't like they absolutely got like dominated them. And also, like you said, Liverpool team was older than Chelsea's. Yeah. And Chelsea are fucking shit. How have we got this narrative being painted about that cup final that the underdogs Liverpool, who are top of the league, playing against the shittest Chelsea side in 30 years? Oh my God, we can't believe they did it. We can't believe a team that's got fucking 30 points more than them this season managed to squeak past them in fucking stoppage time. Fuck off. Anyway,
I don't get I don't get that.
Don't make any sense.
That's like
saying, oh my God, the plucky little Liverpool team who were top of the fucking league managed to beat an awful Chelsea side. Anyway,
I appreciate you coming in your chats and that, but I don't agree. That's like saying, you know, fucking hell, Wigan beat City at the cup final 8 years ago, whenever it was, or 10 years ago. Why can't we? It's like, it's different fucking game, isn't it? It's completely... Also, as well, not to make excuses, because I thought United could have and should have done better, but I think some of the games recently have given City a bit of a wake-up call. Like, the Bournemouth game, I don't think they played well. The Chelsea game, they didn't play well. And I think it sort of rattled them a bit, where they're like, look, we've got to fix this. We can't just be turning up and expecting to win games. Also, that late winner for Liverpool yesterday... That would have had obviously an effect on City, where they go into this game today knowing anything less than a win and they're in trouble, because they've got to go to Anfield as well. And also, City's run is far more hard than Liverpool's. So I just feel that, you know, I'm not saying it was good enough today, it wasn't, but I think certain things aligned against us to make it sort of harder, and the fact that City would be. Even more so, not that they need much motivation for a derby, but even more motivated after the way things have gone for them personally, for their team recently, and what happened at the City Ground yesterday with Liverpool against Forest, where basically, you know, the referee gave Liverpool the win.
Jackson Reynolds said, why did Ten Hag and Crew send back Reguilon? Was that a good move? No, I don't think it was.
No,
if Malassi was back, I get it, but
no, logic to that, is that?
No.
I defend Ten Hag and I stick up for him and I'll say, you give him however, but that was a stupid move, because you could literally say to the board or whatever, look, don't let him go, I need him, and they would have said, right, okay.
If Luke Shaw gets injured, which he always does, I've got no left back.
Yeah, and they would have gone. I'm not saying Sergio Reguilon means we win today, but he might have. He might have. Not necessarily made a win today, but he might have been there for that equaliser.
Yeah.
It might have made a difference. He might have, you know, we might be looking at a different scoreline. All these little fine margins matter, and just not having a left back for months is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Jonathan Hanley says, Arsenal and Liverpool both gave managers time through bad seasons to build. We'll never get out of the rebuild phase if we always restart it every 3 years, or not even 2 years in this case. I agree. I'm not saying that I know Ten Hag is the perfect manager for Man United and I trust him no matter what and he's never made a mistake. What I do think genuinely is, I don't think we've seen the best of what Ten Hag is about. I think the circumstances he's been under as Man United manager have not allowed us to see what Ten Hag is truly about. And I think until we've seen that, and hopefully with Ineos and a bit more time we will see it, we can't even make a true judgment of how good he is. I honestly don't think we can. Abhinav Verma says, we beat Chelsea with McTominay midfield. What sort of shit comparison is that? Yeah, we beat Chelsea as well, so we don't, you know, anyone can beat them. But yeah, United.
Can we just, before we wrap up as well, if you're watching, can you put a subs link in the chat? Because I think we've got quite a lot of people watching. And subs have gone through the roof today, which is great. We want to get to 750,000 subscribers by the end of the season. With your support, we can do that. Also, we've got some more content coming up for members. We've had quite a lot of people join a membership over the last week or so. In particular, on Friday there was loads. I think someone gifted 100 memberships on Friday, was phenomenal. So forgive me if I've forgotten the chap's name, but big thank you to them, and big thank you to everyone who supported Stretford Paddock for the last 4 years. We do appreciate your support, and in pre-season we are going to be out and about as well. We're going to be going over to America. And it's thanks to you guys that is possible. Joe, anything else to add before we wrap up, my brother?
No.
Listen, I fucking hate City. The fucking cheating bastards. And it's fucking shit that we've lost to them.
Again.
But we'll be back. We're Man United. We've been through fucking all sorts and we'll always bounce back. So might take a little while, but we'll get there. That's been Joe Smith. I'm Jay Motti. This has been Live Review, Manchester United losing 3-1 at the Etihad. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.